Okay, let's start. So I'm your other instructor. I'm Samira Khan. And I will be teaching today about binary operations. So this is the agenda for today. First, we will talk about some logistics and some feedbacks we have got from you guys. A bit review from the last lecture. And then we would go to our topic for today, which is binary operation. So first, the logistics. So the first feedback that we are getting is quizzes are hard. So the quizzes are open book, open note, and like take advantage of those, right? Take advantage of, even if you want to search in internet, do that. And try to take leverage of any material you could use.
I am your friend.
Yes. So we are trying to just see that you are actually reading the materials and trying to get a hand on the topics. And look at the past quizzes. I think the quizzes are really similar. We are trying to have the same format, almost the same questions. And at the end, you just want to learn and get trained, right? Like people from past years, they took almost the same quizzes and they did well. And I'm pretty sure you guys would do even better. So I think it's just like we are here to help. The main goal is that you would learn something and you will feel excited about what you're learning. That's the goal. So there is one feedback about the last quiz that the question, when we have compiled with struct foo pointer C, it compiled fine. So what's wrong with it? The question is, it is not wrong. Sometimes we prepare the questions and still remains ambiguous. And we appreciate that you are actually trying to find out what's correct and what's incorrect. And it's a good catch. We encourage you to ask more questions after the quizzes. Use Piazza. Maybe some of your friends would be able to answer those questions. We just want you to start discussions and some other people can jump in. So this is good. Like, keep doing it. This is more like a philosophical question someone asked, that if the string is expressed in bits, is it still a string or is it just zeros and ones? So in the hardware, everything is just zeros and ones, right? There is no A in anywhere in your hardware written. So it's just a matter of how we interpret these zeros and ones. So the answer is somewhat yes, but at the same time, some zeros and ones would represent strings, some would represent a move instruction, some would just say that go to your OS and do something, right? So keep in mind that even we are seeing all these strings and function calls and all the things you write in your higher level code. Hardware doesn't know any of those. It just sees zeros and ones. And then we give it instructions on how to interpret those zeros and ones. So yeah, keep asking questions, and we would love to have more and more discussions online and offline. Okay, now we would go to a bit review from the last lecture. In the last lecture, we were talking about undefined behavior in C. So what is this undefined behavior? From the C FAQ definition, undefined behavior is something where anything at all can happen. So C standard doesn't impose any requirement on these definitions. Programs may fail to compute, it may execute incorrectly, or it may do exactly what it was supposed to do. So the main point is we actually don't know what it may do. It depends on the implementation. So since the standard doesn't define any strict rule, any of this could happen. And mostly it depends on how the compiler was written. So one example is if we add 1 to the maximum integer number. So what would happen? We know that the maximum number would be a large number of ones, right? But if we are thinking about signed bit and unsigned bit, the largest possible integer number would have 0 in its MSB because it is a positive number, right? If you add 1 to it, what should happen? There should be a 1 on MSB which would make the result of the add to a negative number. That should happen, right? But so suppose we write this program that we want to add 1 to int maximum and we want to print it. So the C standard doesn't specify that we take care of the signed unsigned overflow. So depending on how it's implemented, it could be 0, it could be 1, or it could just give you some random number. So there are many different undefined behavior in C. One would be how we use pointers. So if we define a string and point a character pointer to it, if we then try to get W from P0, the compiler just doesn't know what would happen. If we divide something by 0, you know that if it's in Java, there would be an exception which will say that you have divided something by 0. Unfortunately, in C, it is undefined. Depending on how things are implemented, how things are optimized, it could give you different answer. Then in C, we don't impose the length of array. So suppose I defined an array with 4 elements, but then I'm trying to access the 5th one. What would you get? It's not clearly defined, so you could get anything. Then if you increment and try to assign something, that's also an undefined behavior. So there are a number of things which are undefined, and if you just go to internet and type in undefined behavior in C and how to exploit it, actually you could get a lot of ideas on how to exploit these things. So, yes.
How do you distinguish between initializing a string as read-only versus read-write?
Initializing a string as read-only versus read-write. So if you define it as constant, usually then it's read-only. I think I'm right. Is it right?
Yeah. You had a non-const pointer to care in your example, I think is what he's asking about.
Yeah, yes. I feel like why is it undefined? Is it Because is that read only or is that read
no back? No. So we define the array to have four elements.
Okay.
The valid C. So you're trying to point something which is defined as a string, and now you're trying to change that. It's just not defined in C. Do you want to add something?
So if we instead made an array which was a copy of that thing, it would be fine, because you could modify the array. But right there, we're making a pointer to that string constant.
Oh, this is like one of the assumed constant. This is like the
assumed
constant.
Yeah, so this
constant.
Is logically constant, but it says that there's a remark that it's valid C because bizarrely, C lets you not write const there, and that is 100% legal.
So usually if you want to point to something, you should assign something, right? Like here, it's not a valid operation now, but though you can write it. Any more questions? Yes.
So
this one.
How does the output be 0 or 1? Like, what happened to the negative?
So we are not trying to print the number, right? What it is trying to do is trying to see if it's less than 0. So if it is negative, it should print 1, if it's true. So if this expression is true, it is supposed to print 1. If this expression is false, it is supposed to print 0. I guess this relates to logical operation, which we would talk today more.
If it is like negative, if it's not negative, big number, what would it be?
So you're asking that what would be the output if the number is not negative?
So let's say the output is 1.
So output of this expression or output of int max plus 1? The output of int max plus 1 should be negative, but it might not be implemented that way. So there could be just some garbage value there, or it just depends on how things are implemented.
I guess, so an example is that a compiler might decide to do the arithmetic in something bigger than an int.
Okay.
And it's allowed to do it because the standard said so, not because it makes sense to do so.
So like this actually makes programmers' life harder, right? Like why then we have all these undefined behavior? So the reason we have those is because it simplifies the compiler's job. If we don't have to take care of overflows or division by zero, we can just get rid of the optimizer in the compiler, and we can write very efficient code because we are just ignoring all the corner cases. So for the last example, if I just decide that my program would never add 1 to the highest possible integer number, then I just don't need to even take care of that, and I can just get rid of those code and actually make my compiler very efficient. But what are the cons? First, you don't know what to expect from your program if you are writing something which is not defined clearly. And then there are all these security issues because compiler maybe tried to optimize these behaviors by getting some read of some code or maybe just making it to a constant. And usually what happens is the hackers, they try to exploit these behaviors, and there are actually many vulnerabilities people have shown. We can that have resulted from these undefined variables. So I guess I wouldn't say how the array out of bound actually can be exploited. There is a very famous security bug. If you are interested, try to Google it and read about it. So that's like, I encourage you to look for more and more information in the internet. So any questions? No? Okay. So now we would move to binary operations. And why binary? Why not ternary or base 10, base 12, base 16? Why we are just talking about 0 and 1? Yes. Yeah, it is very intuitive, right? Because the computers are made of transistors, which can represent just two states. It's just 0 or 1, on or off. The current flows or the current just don't flow. So that's what we have to deal with, because the current transistors, they can just, they are designed in a way to just be on and off. So that's why we have to learn how to operate on these binary numbers. So there are three kinds of operations that we could do on binary numbers. The first one is arithmetic operations. We can add, subtract, multiply, divide. I think you have gone through all these, and also you have skimmed the book, and I would assume that this part should be pretty familiar. Today we will mostly talk about logical operations and bitwise operations. So logical operations would be related to the question we had, I guess. So let's look at what are these logical operations. So the first one we will talk about is logical AND. So as I said in that example, we are trying to get a binary decision, true or false, based on some expression. So if both of the operands are non-zero, the condition becomes true. It's similar as just regular binary AND, but here, the output is binary. So it just says 0 or 1. Logical OR, if any of the two operands is non-zero, the condition becomes true. So and there is logical NOT, if it just reverses the logical state. So if A and B is true, then just doing a NOT means that it's false. I guess with this example, if A is 2 and B is 0, what A and B would say that this expression is false because B is not true. But A or B would give you 1. It would say true because at least one of them is true. And A and B, if we take a NOT of it, it would give you 1 because it's just reversing the output. Any question? Okay, let's see an example. So this is a C code. Let's start from the main where, let's start from the 0 and 1 functions where 0 prints 0, returns 0, and 1 prints 1 and returns 1. So let's see how this would work. I guess I should ask any of you, can you say what would be the answer for the first one? So what it is doing is, first it will call the function 0, right? So it would go here. And it will print 0 and return the value 0. Okay, so now we get back to the main function, and what the function 0 returned is false, right? It's 0. And we are trying to get the, we are doing a logical AND here where this expression would be true only if these both of the functions, they, if both of the functions return once. But the first one, the 0 already returns 0, right? So that means that we already know that this, if we AND it, at least one of them is 0, so it must be false. So false means that it will print 0. Any question here? Yes.
Shouldn't it also print 1?
So this is just an optimization. Like, it is true that when we are trying to determine the logical operations, we should look into both of the functions, right? But because with AND, you know the answer, if the first one is 0, it would never be 1. Because, at, right?
So
yeah, yeah.
It just doesn't even.
Do you want to add it?
Even without optimizations, this is mandatory behavior.
Oh, if the first operand is already false, then the remaining ones are not run.
So suppose that you're trying to do it in hand. Like, even then, you don't actually need to look at the second one, right? Because you already know the answer. But you, if you want, you can do it, but it's just wasted work, right? So now let's see the second one. So the first function we are calling is 1. So what it would do is it would print 1 and return 1. So now at the function, we know that, return. I guess, did I make any mistake? Okay. Yeah, it returned 1. And then we have 0, right? So we will call the function 0. And it would print out 0 and return 0. So now we have 0 and 1. So it would print 0. Any question on this example? Is it confusing? Okay.
Can you do like something and something and something in C?
Yes.
So in that case, what if you encountered a 1 and then a 0? Would it just terminate there?
If it's an AND, yes.
So like three things ANDed.
So
together.
So it's called the associativity. I guess we should go there.
So basically,
yes.
As soon as you encounter a 0 in a series of ANDs,
yes.
The compiler stops running the next ones.
Yes. You can write a program and try to figure out if it does the exact thing.
Right.
I am assuming it does, but you can try to implement it and look for it. If it doesn't, then you can just tell GCC that, okay, you missed an optimization, but it's very unlikely.
This is yeah. Not an optimization. I'm sure it's better.
Okay. Yes?
So we're actually talking about the short-circuiting algorithm as well, and he had actually mentioned that while most languages do implement short-circuiting, some do not. Do you know of any languages that don't implement short-circuiting and would actually call both functions?
No. So,
Verilog?
So Verilog is a different kind of language, yeah, I guess.
But would it do short-circuiting?
No, so I would assume, like, I actually haven't tried every possible language, I assume, but according to Charles, since this is very basic, it's something everyone must have implemented. Like, it just doesn't make sense to actually go through all the operators when you know it's already 0 or 1, yeah, know the result.
Does that mean that when you do ORs, if you hit a 1,
Most probably, yeah. Okay, so let's look at the bitwise operations. So here we have a truth table with X and Y's, and there could be four possible values, combinations. And it is kind of the same AND, OR, XOR, and NOT, which I think most of all you know. But the difference here is, here I'm just showing one bit, right? But when we would do bitwise operation on binary numbers, we will actually do the AND or XOR on every bit. So if we have these two inputs, 0010 and 0100, and we are trying to get the result of AND, that means that we need to actually go through all the bit positions. Similar with OR, XOR, NOT, and there is one more, which is SHIFT, which I haven't shown in the truth table, where what we are doing is we are saying that shift the bit positions by the number we have specified. So here I'm saying that shift 0010 to one bit on the left or right. And what happens is the zero in LSB is gone and the result becomes 0001. So suppose you're asked to shift some number by maybe some bit position. What would happen if the number is negative, right? So here I'm showing that this is a positive number, which clearly represents 2. But it could be that the number you're given is a negative number. So with the negative numbers, we have this 1 in the MSB, right? And what do you think should happen? So if I have a number like minus 10, and I ask it to shift by one position, what should happen? So that's the binary representation of negative 10. And if we shift by one bit, what would be in the MSB? Yes.
I'm guessing that like in general it normally just gives you a 0, but like it should be a 1 because it should still be negative.
So it's right, right? It depends what you want to do. So option 1 is you should just copy the sign bit because it's a negative number, and if you're shifting it, it should still remain negative. Or the other option is just always keep 0. And then it's called the logical shift. So let's see two examples, right? So if we are doing a signed arithmetic, and then we have a logic, we have a shift operation, then we will keep the sign intact. So the MSB would still be 1. But suppose if you have an unsigned number and doing a shift operation, then actually we would keep the number unsigned and just fill with zeros. So the reason we are talking about this is because there are some undefined behavior even with shift in C. So if the number is represented in 32 bits, so it's a 32-bit integer, and the number is 0, and we are trying to shift it by 32 bits on the right. Again, there is this question about what should happen, right? If it's integer, should it become a negative number or should it still remain 0? So C just defined that, decided that they just don't care, it would be remain undefined. Same if you do left shift, but if it's a long number, then actually it's fine because With 32 bits, you actually have enough bits to represent the sign bits, right? But if the, because the longs require 64 bits, and the sign bit is a question only when we are using the whole thing. So then when you shift it by 64 bit positions, then it becomes an undefined number. Any question? Okay. So why are we learning all this, right? Because these operations are very important or very helpful when we do some other things. So let's see some examples of how we can use these binary operations, especially logical and bitwise operations, and how it could help us to do some other high-level things. So the first motivation I have why we need to do all these bit manipulation, at least the bitwise operations, is suppose you can do some high-level thing, but it requires division, multiplication, and many other instructions. But in the hardware, actually, division operations are highly expensive. So it takes like 25 to 123 cycles to do a division. And why there is a range, why it's not an exact number, because there are variations of how you can do the divide operation. If you're interested to see which one takes how many cycles, you can click and go look at the Intel manual on the latency for each operation you do. So instead of, if you can come up with a bitwise operation where you do the exact same thing but avoid your divide operation, then your program would be much faster. So if you want to make your program really fast, you should use logical operations because those are done in just one cycle. So where you can use this? Suppose you're designing a system which requires to be reliable. Maybe you're designing something which will run in space. In the space, when there are radiation, the particles hit the machines and bits just randomly flip. So you want to make sure that whatever system you're designing is actually, it can operate correctly even if there is any bit flip in your processor or memory or as a, in the system. So one way to do is parity. So what parity says that it will keep some additional information with all the bits that you're storing in your memory. And it will count the number of ones and store one if the number of one is even. That's one variation. There are many other variations, even parity, odd parity, but the intuition is kind of same. You would either count the number of ones or number of zeros and store one if it's even, store zero if it's odd. So basically, it's just a count operation on how many ones you have. And you can try to come up with some C code which does it. I actually don't know how can you do it without bitwise operation. But if you use bitwise operation, right, it becomes really simple that you will just use some bitwise operations and we would get, you would get the number of ones in with some with very efficiently. Another example would be, suppose you're doing some divide operations, but you just know that your numbers are all power of two. Then why should you pay this high latency for the divide operation, right? Because shifting shifting means that you're either multiplying by two or dividing by two. So you can just make some optimization if you know how your input looks like. So these are some high-level motivations on what you need to know about bitwise operations. Now let's see actually how it's done. So there are four building blocks which we use whenever we are doing these bitwise operations. One is we want to set one bit in maybe our 32-bit integer, but we want to keep other bits unchanged. That's called set operation. Then there is this clear operation where we want to make one specific bit position zero and keep the remaining bits unchanged. The third operation is called toggle. So we just want to flip one specific bit and keep all the other remaining bits unchanged. And the fourth operation is extract and shift. Sometimes we call it mask and shift. So what it does is it will only operate on some specific portion of the bit vector and somehow move it to LSB or MSB, wherever you want. So basically, it will give you some bits which are in some specific position, which could be anywhere. So let's take a detailed look at each of these. So the first one is set a bit. So basically, what we want to do is we just want to make a certain bit one and keep all the rest same. And it could be done really simply by using OR operation and using OR, like OR with one. So example, well, how does it work? So suppose I have this bits 1010, and I want the third bit to be set. So if I OR it with 0100, so look at the one here. It's in the third position because that's the bit I want to be set here. And what we get is 1110 because now that bit is set. So the basic rule is if we have a bit string, which could be x0, 1, 2, 3, and we want to set a bit in a specific bit location, we will just have 1 there, and we will have zeros in rest of the place, and the result would be we have set that bit in the result bit string. Any question before we go to reset? Okay. Clear a bit. The way we could do is we can just AND the number with zero. So again, if we want to clear the third bit in a bit string, we will just AND it in a way that there is a zero in the third bit and the rest of the bits have all ones. And now if we make an AND, what happens is this one flips to zero. And this is the generic rule. If you want to reset a bit with some bit position, take an input bit vector where there is a zero and in the specific bit position and all the rest of the bits are ones. Now let's see toggle. With bit flip, what we want to do is if there is a 1, it should be 0, and if there is a 0, it should be 1. And a simple, very simple way to do is using the XOR operation and XORing it with 1. Here we have two examples. We want to toggle the third bit of this bit vector, And it, you can see that it doesn't matter what is in this third bit. It could be one or it could be zero, but after the XOR operation, we have just changed the direction of the bit. So now let's look at the extract and mask function. So here what I want to do is I want to take those four ones in the middle and I want to shift it in the LSB positions so that I can maybe manipulate them with some other thing. And I want to just make all the rest of the bits zeros. What I can do is I can AND it with 0F00. What it would do is it will make rest of all the bits zero and keep my X0 to 3 in act, like exactly what it was. Now we can just shift it and get them in the LSB position. Any questions? So with these building blocks, now we are ready to actually do some more higher level operations. And I guess I talked about the parity operation, which requires counting the number of ones, right? And the first step could be if we see a string of bits, is any bit set in that bit vector? How many bits are set? And also we will see one example of manipulating colors in RGB. I guess I will describe it, what this RGB means later. But let's start with the problem we are trying to solve is given some bits, is there any bit set in that number? So what would be the knife solution? Any ideas? Yes?
It was OR with 0, 0, 0.
So since you want to know if the specific position is 1, right? You want to actually AND it.
Oh, I thought you meant it was like in the whole.
So what you want to know is with each bit position, you want to know if that bit is set, right? So what you could do is you could take the first bit and AND it with 1, which will say if the LSB has 1 or not. Then you can take the next bit. So in order to determine what's in the next bit, first you have to shift it by 1 position and then AND it with 1 to see if it contains 1 or not. And you will do it for all the bits you have. So if the if your number is 32 bits, you have to do it 32 times. So basically, AND with 1, get the LSB. Shift it once and with 1 again, try to figure out if there is 1 or not, and so on. So this is a nice solution because if you have 32 bits, it would require 32 operations, like 32 steps. If there are 64 bits, it will require 64 steps. But there is a way to actually optimize it. The way to optimize it is actually not that intuitive, but let's see it. Like I'm pretty sure if you think about it, you will get there. But let's see some intuition. So the way we want to do it is we just instead of operating on each bit sequentially, we want to operate on half of the bits. So it's more like a divide and I guess the conquer part is not there. So we just want to do a binary tree. Have you guys read binary tree? Okay, so basically we want to divide the number in two halves, operate on each half, and then divide it by halves again so that we don't have to linearly operate on each bit. So it will reduce the number of steps, yes.
Why can't we just order the entire thing with all zeros? Because wouldn't that show us all the ones that were set to one?
Still, you need to count the bits, right?
You have to count.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah.
I think is something you missed.
Okay.
The goal is to get zero or one.
Whether they're
on
end bits.
What was that?
Your goal is to get zero or one as the output.
Okay.
So how can actually we optimize it? So the intuition was we want to just operate in on the half of the bits instead of the whole bit. And one way to do it is what we want to do. We will take the number. We will shift it by half. So if there are 16 bits, we will shift it by 8. And we will OR it with the number itself. So it is a bit tricky. So let's see it again. So we will take the upper half and OR with the number itself. What it would do is, if there is any bit set in the whole number, now what would happen is the lower half will contain one set bit. So if this is my number, and I shift it by 8 bit positions, so this will become my number. So basically this part will come here. And now I want to OR it with the number itself. So what happened is now within the bottom half of my number, I should have a bit set if there is any bit set in the whole number, because I am taking the whole number and also the half number and trying to OR them. So now I just can get rid of the upper half. Any question? Okay. So now instead of my 16 bits, I can just operate on 8 bits, right? And I can do the whole operation again and again and again till actually I get to the last bit position, where it would say if it's 0 or 1. So I take the same number again and shift it, right shift it by 4, and OR it with the number in the previous step, which is now 8 bits. And what it would give us is, it will say that if there is any bit set, but we would be able to tell that just looking at these 4 bits. Any question? Then we can just look at the least 4 bits, and similarly after that, the least 2 bits, and at the end we just have this one single bit. We will OR it with 1 and return that if it's 1 or 0. Any question? Yes?
So are you trying to do it if there's any number of 1s in the bit? If there's many infinities in one of them, is that all you're doing?
Yes.
Why can't you just check if it's not zero?
Yeah. It is true. If we can just check it, if it's so that would not be a bitwise operation, I guess. Yeah, you can just check it if it's zero or not. So here, I guess we are trying to show an example of using bitwise operation.
Due to the way that he was described, mm-hmm. when checking it's not zero, mm-hmm. does that implicitly, if we were to implement that in C, would that implicitly have to go in and check every single byte to check to see if it's not zero, which is why it kind of defeats the purpose, because they're still going through the entire bit anyway?
It depends on how it's implemented, but I personally don't know how it's implemented.
Well, the hardware has to do it.
So there is one option is the hardware is just have this operation and it's doing it. But you could also think that there is some code which, when you're saying that if some number is zero or one, it is actually just going through this kind of operation and doing it. Yeah. But hardware could just have it's a small gate. It's the cost is actually really simple, so it could just have these OR and XOR operations and just implement.
Yeah.
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 It is good actually. You are thinking about the more from the hardware side. Any more question? No. Okay. So now we want to know how many bits are set in this in one number. And actually, we already kind of talked about it, right? We could do the naive thing we were doing, right? We would just OR with one. So it would say that if there is any one in the LSB, and use a counter. So each time we shift and it with one, and we increment our counter. Any question on this one? Okay. So the next one is how to manipulate colors in RGB. It's related to the shift and mask operation we were talking about. So what is RGB? RGB is the red, green, blue colors that we see in our pixels, like in displays. And these, like whatever you're seeing in your screen, even though it has a variety of colors represented, basically it is just if your screen is RGB. Each color is represented with a number from 0 to 255. So basically it requires just 8 bits to represent the maximum number of 255. So if you have, you want to represent 3 colors, each of them taking 8 bits, you can actually just use one integer and represent all the colors. So here I'm showing an example where the list 8 bits would represent the color red, then we will have green, and then blue, and the last, the MSB 8 bits are not used because we just have 3 colors. So suppose now this is the way we are representing the colors. The question is, when you have your pixels, most probably you will do some kind of operation on your pixels, and maybe the operation would be different for different color. So there has to be a way where you actually take the pixels and put it in this one 32-bit integer, or take it out one specific color from the integer. And how can you do it? So there has to be a way where you can access each of them separately. So the way it is done is you can use a mask and then shift it to get the specific color you want. So for the blue color blue, since It's the third color. It's at, close to the MSB site. You have to mask basket with FF0000, which would just make rest of the color zeros and would just give you the color blue. For green, you have to mask it with FF00. And for red, since it's on the least LSB bit, you can just use 0xFF. So suppose this is my initial numbers for R, G, and B. The way I can pack it in an integer is, for red, we don't have to do anything because it's already in its, like, it's on the LSB positions, and the R, the number R also represents 12 in LSB position. But for green, we actually have to left shift it by 8 positions to make sure that it's on that GG position. And for B, we have to shift it by 6 positions. And if we just add all those numbers, then actually we have represented the number in one integer. So all the we have 3 colors, but they would be represented in one integer. But now suppose we actually want to get each specific color separately, what we should do. What we could do is we could take the value which has all the colors and it with the mask, which will give us the value of the blue. But then we have to shift it by 16 positions to shift them in the right to so that they're on the LSB position. So this will actually print whatever we had in blue, which is 14. Same for red and green. First, we want to AND it with the mask. And for red, it is actually already in LSB, so we don't have to shift it. But for green, since it's in the middle position, we have to shift it by 8 bits. So basically, this is showing an example that you can operate on specific bits using mask and shift. Any question regarding this? Nope? Okay, so basically this is what we have for today. In the next class, we will actually talk about a bit more about machine language, which is assembly language, and which you are using for all the labs. And we will see the relationship between the machine language and the machine itself. Any more questions? Okay. Thank you.